Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Obviously, we can see what the title of the sermon is, but let's read it together, shall we? Onward, Christian soldiers. Based especially in Ephesians chapter 6, listen to these verses. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Our summer sermon series, Hymns to Preach, continues today with a hymn of spiritual warfare, Onward Christian Soldiers. The writer of this hymn, fascinating story, is the Reverend Sabine Baring Gould. Born in England in 1834, he was considered to be one of the most brilliant men and have one of the best minds in all of Victorian England. He spoke six languages. He had degrees in these areas and was an accomplished man as an archaeologist, an architect, an artist, and a teacher. He wrote over 100 books, 30 of them being novels. He held numerous degrees from numerous universities. So, in view of all this, it's actually quite amusing that he wrote this hymn for young Sunday school children. It was Pentecost Sunday, 1865, and the children in his parish were to march to a nearby village for a large Sunday school rally. The tradition was for the children to sing as they marched, and that night, on Saturday night, Pastor Gould went home and wrote the words and the music to this hymn. And the next morning, the children marched to that nearby village for the first time in history, singing this hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers. One more note of historical interest. I mentioned this to Everett and Joan in the hallway this week as I finished the sermon. Reverend Gould was a bachelor into his 30s. But when he was in his mid-30s, he met a lady named Grace Taylor, quite a younger woman with, let's just say, a very spicy mouth. A young woman who had no education and worked as a laborer in a mill. Well, he educated her for 2 years and turned her into a lady and finally his wife. They were married in 1868, were husband and wife for 48 years, and had 15 children. Their life inspired the British author George Bernard Shaw to write the book Pygmalion, which was then turned into the world-famous musical My Fair Lady. Let's take a closer look at this scholar's hymn for a Sunday school children's march. Verse 1 begins, Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ, our royal master, leads against the foe, forward into battle. See his banners go. Forward into battle, says the hymn. But for any soldier to be ready for battle, it's important to know who our enemy is and how he operates. In Ephesians chapter 6, our text for the day, St. Paul compares our spiritual battle with our enemy, the devil, with a Roman soldier in combat with his enemy. Paul makes it very clear, make no mistake about it, every Christian believer is a soldier in this battle. Paul says the devil uses flaming or fiery darts. Verse 16 of Ephesians 6. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. In ancient combat, flaming darts or fiery arrows were used in open warfare before hand-to-hand combat began. Psalm 91:5 compares these flaming projectiles with spiritual warfare. Listen to Psalm 91. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. And a scene from the famous movie Braveheart illustrates these ideas of flaming arrows. We have an attack of a number of thousands of British archers letting go with their flaming arrows or darts upon the Scotsmen trying to protect their homeland. And the purpose of these flaming arrows was to soften up the Scotsmen defending their land, to frighten them, to wound them, to so discourage them before the charge came and the hand-to-hand combat with short swords ensued. The devil, says St. Paul, uses flaming darts as well. These are his lies and temptations to soften you up, to wound you, to frighten you, to discourage you, so that when the real battle for your soul begins, you'll be wounded and weakened and not as resistant to his attack. But the good news is this, says Holy Scripture, God has provided you with a shield. It's the shield of faith that God makes personally for you and gives you the strength to bear. Verse 16 of the text says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. God gives you the shield of faith and he teaches you how to use it. What's the purpose of a shield in combat? A shield gives protection from attack. The purpose in our spiritual life? Much the same thing. But the good news gets better. God also gives to you and me, his children whom he loves, shield bearers to help us and protect us. What's the purpose of a shield bearer in battle? Well, back to the Braveheart movie. As the thousands of arrows descended from the English archers upon the Scotsmen, hundreds of their fellow Scotsmen stood in front of them with big, large, long, wooden, oaken shields. So when the flaming arrows arrived, the shield absorbed the attack. The purpose of our shield bearers today? Much the same thing. And these shield bearers are mentioned in the very next verse of the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. Listen to the verse. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. That mighty army, that church of God, the saints that have trod are your shield bearers. Your shield bearer is that Christian believer who stands with you and stands for you when the battle is rough. That shield bearer is that Christian brother or sister who helps you hold up your shield of faith when your arms are weak. Permit me to introduce to you some of my personal shield bearers. My grade 7 Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Miller, all 4 feet, 8 and 90 pounds of her. My boyhood pastor, Pastor David Belasic, now in his late 80s. My seminary classmate and dear friend, now the Reverend Carl Blees. My dear wife, Beverly. The men who are on the board of elders here at Trinity Lutheran Church, and the congregational president of our congregation, who even this week came to my office to pray with me and to pray for me. Who has been your spiritual shield bearer? Who is your spiritual shield bearer? Not sure? Don't have one? Ask God to lay on your heart the name of a person to whom you can turn to help you hold up your shield when the battle rages. Speak with them. Share with them, cry with them, pray with them. This is one reason God has placed us in the church, into the body of Christ, that we might stand shoulder to shoulder with each other when the battle comes. And ask yourself, for whom can you be a shield bearer? Ask your dear Lord to direct you to that one person who uses your help could use your help to keep their shield held high. How important are your brothers and sisters in Christ? How important is the fellowship of the Christian church? How important it is to be and to have a spiritual shield bearer. Verse 3 of the hymn says this: gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. We have Christ's own promise. The promise proclaimed on every page of Holy Scripture. The Word of God is the sword we depend upon for the battle. And the Lord has given it to us, that, and it's very sharp. Listen to the text. Ephesians 6:17 says, "And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." The sword that Paul mentions here in the Greek language is a short sword used for hand-to-hand combat. In ancient warfare, after the flaming arrows were sent, then comes hand-to-hand combat with short swords. Phase one of the battle is long-distance arrows. Phase two is hand-to-hand with short swords. Spiritually speaking, after our enemy, the devil, softens us up with his lies and his temptations, the flaming arrows, then he comes at us face-to-face. No longer do you have shield bearers at your side. It's at these times we face the enemy alone. But we are armed. St. Paul tells us the sword God provides is sharp and it's powerful. It's his holy word. The scripture says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In his battle hymn, A Mighty Fortress, Luther says this: "The hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand, they cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage, in battle will engage, his might is doomed to fail, God's judgment must prevail, one little word subdues him." That one word is the holy, perfect, inerrant, powerful Word of God, especially the proclamation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever God's Word is proclaimed, read, studied, discussed, prayed, and shared, the devil is subdued. He's put in his place. He has sent packing. That's why your pastor encourages you again and again throughout the year to really listen to the Sunday sermon, to attend Sunday school and Bible classes, to read the Bible with your devotions at home, so that God, the Holy Spirit, can put in your hand the short sword of the Word of God when you really need it. And here's some more good news. The victory in battle does not depend on our personal skill with the sword. The victory is always a gift from our Lord who loves you so much. So says the fourth verse and final verse of this hymn: "Glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King." He is the victorious King. His is the strength and the victory. So says St. Paul in verse 10 of Ephesians 6. Finally, he says, "Be strong," not in yourself. He says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." The victory doesn't depend upon us. It depends only on Jesus, God's strong champion who has come for us to fight and defeat the powers of sin, death, and devil. And here's more good news as Paul compares us to a Roman soldier. Everyone in Paul's time knew that a Roman soldier had all of his armor, all of his equipment, all of his weapons provided to him by his commander. Each soldier was outfitted with sword, shield, and helmet. The best that the Empire of Rome had was given to him. He didn't have to depend upon his own homemade, makeshift, second-rate stuff. The soldier was only asked one thing: to stand firm when the enemy came. He was trained to trust his commander, to trust his weapon, to trust his army and his armor, and simply stand firm. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." God, our commander, has given to us, his baptized and redeemed children, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, so we can stand firm and be victorious in battle. Let me say it again, in case somehow you have tuned out during the Sunday sermon. The strength, the power, the victory is the Lord's. He simply invites us to cling onto him in faith and stand firm when the battle comes. Paul tells us we are strong in the Lord. Our Lord Jesus himself told us in Matthew 16:18, "The gates of hell shall not overpower you." And as we've heard this hymn declare today, "The gates of hell shall never against that church prevail." We end today's sermon with a story that illustrates our Lord's victory. Are you ready for the end of the sermon? Darrell Loomis was a truck driver. He was a long-haul truck driver that drove every week in his 18-wheeler truck with a large trailer between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Atlanta, Georgia. He always stopped along the way to a diner called Joe's Diner. One summer day, Joe parked his big 18-wheeler in the parking lot and went inside and sat at his regular place on the counter, and he ordered his usual lunch: hot meatloaf sandwich, mashed potatoes and gravy, and a glass of iced tea. That day, when he was in the middle of the meal, a motorcycle gang came roaring into the parking lot. 12 big men on 12 big motorcycles. They parked just in front of Darrell's truck, then they stomped into the diner. They spotted Darrell, and the leader said, "Ah, who's this sissy at the counter? Hey, sissy boy, I'm talking to you." Darrell just kept eating his lunch. Then the gang leader picked up Darrell's iced tea and poured it over his head. Darrell just wiped his face with his napkin and kept eating his lunch. Then the leader took a scoop of his mashed potatoes and rubbed it on Darrell's back. Darrell just kept eating his lunch. The gang members kept taunting him, insulting him, but Darrell just finished his meal, paid Joe, and left the diner. The leader then laughed and said, "What a wimp. He sure ain't much of a man." Joe, looking out the window of his diner, smiled and said, "Well, I guess he ain't much of a truck driver either. He just ran over 12 motorcycles in the parking lot with his big rig." On the cross of Calvary, it looked like your Lord Jesus wasn't much of a man, wasn't much of a savior. Your greatest enemies, sin, death, and devil, taunted him and thought they had him beat. But he rose in victory. And the power of his resurrection rolled over and destroyed your eternal enemies, much like a bunch of motorcycles in the parking lot of Joe's Diner. And your Lord Jesus is pleased today to share with you his strength and his victory as you face life's battles. So as the hymn declares, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." In the name of Jesus. Amen.